visits. That's just, I don't know exactly how many unique patients we saw last year yet.
Well,
I
have people to get, visit more than once, obviously.
We have 27,000 patients at Salud. Probably about half of them are youth. A large portion of them are OB. So statistically,
27,000
patients at Salud overall. Uh-huh. Right. But behavioral health, I just know that we did 8,000 visits, which was up from 3,000 the year before that.
Wow.
But I'm not sure. And that has to do with more staff and also maybe hopefully breaking down stigma and more people accessing our care.
And offering all of these kind of services that weren't there before.
Right.
Well, that's
so
really
it's growing.
Impressive.
I still know we're only reaching probably about 5 to 7% of the patients that... And we know statistically that any time, in any given time, probably about 20% of the general population has some kind of mental health or other issue that they could use counseling for. And so, I think the last time I did numbers, we were seeing about 5 to 7%. So, it's way, way under. But I don't even have space if I was seeing 20% to sit all those therapists anyway. So, right now we're fairly well staffed on the therapy. Behavioral health department.
Okay, so before we talk about how you finance that and what your plans are for expansion, I have to do a thing about this station. So we're talking with Emily Salak about her work as a behavioral therapist at Salud para la Gente here on Good News Santa Cruz at 90.7 K-Squid, our new community radio station. Thank you, Em. So if you're only seeing 5 to 7% of the patients, and there's so much more reach to the 20% who might need it. What kind of plans does Salud have for handling that?
We recently had a community event that was our first one of hopefully annually, and we had tables there with behavioral health and a substance use table, just passing out educational materials, kind of. I think a lot of it just has to do with educating the public. What we know about the Latino population is that they handle most everything like within their family unit. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of families living with like a loved one who has mental health issues or substance use issues, but they mostly don't seek help for it. So we have digital signage and signs up everywhere saying, you know, free substance use disorder counseling for, you know, you or maybe your loved one is struggling with. A lot of times it's going to be the mom or the grandma, or it's not the actual person with the substance use disorder that's coming into the clinic, because those type of patients don't often seek preventative care.
Right.
Another thing we're doing is looking towards mobile services and getting out of the clinic walls. So one of the substance use services grants that we got, I was able to purchase a RV that we're going to retrofit, kind of have our logo, and it's just going to be simple. It's not going to offer all these medical services, but it's going to offer behavioral health and substance use services out in the community. So
it'll be driving around the community, and people who know that they have a problem with some substance abuse can stop the van and say... No,
not exactly. Talk. We're going to probably park it in set locations with a set schedule, and so that people come to know where we'll be and when. And that's more like about outreach into populations that don't traditionally come to the clinic, like probably more of the homeless populations and others like that.
Right. That sounds like a really good advance. How does Salud pay for all this stuff?
Well, Salud is a federally qualified health center, so it's federally funded. And it's the same, it's a reimbursement system that works really well, where it's a per patient encounter. It doesn't matter if they come to see me or their provider. That's their reimbursement that makes it really work, because if we just depend, most of our patients are Medi-Cal or uninsured, and Medi-Cal reimbursement is very low, then the federal rate fills in the gaps.
Supplements that. So
right.
That was going to be my next question. They don't need to come to you with insurance. Anybody can walk in.
They have to be a Salud patient or willing to become a Salud patient.
Yeah.
There are some private insurances that behavioral health isn't contracted with yet. But like I said, most of our patients have Medi-Cal, Medicare, mm-hmm. or they're uninsured, or they're seasonally insured, because they might have insurance while they're, if they're farm workers or agricultural workers, they might have insurance during the season and then have Medi-Cal or Medicare or uninsured during the other off-season times.
And for the rest of the population in Watsonville, there's lots of Anglo population, there's Filipino and Japanese and all sorts of, like you said, mixed tech. So you try to serve everybody. It's not just for Latinos.
Right.
That seems pretty good. Mixtec is a separate language, so you said you have a translator for that.
Right. Not for all the other dialects. There's Zapotec and other dialects too, but we do mostly see the larger Mixtec population. Uh-huh. We have one translator for that. And I wanted to talk a little bit back about the community support.
Okay.
So we do have, we're lucky to have really good community support and collaborations in Santa Cruz County. We're part of the local opiate coalition, SafeRx, which has worked on a lot of different levels to address the opiate crisis and to provide safe prescribing guidelines to the community's prescribers. They've also worked with pharmacies. They have a lot of different initiatives and angles that they're working on the opiate crisis. So
throughout the whole county.
Throughout the county, right. SafeRx, yes. And we have seven primary care providers who've done their special training to be able to prescribe medications for people with opiate use disorder. So that means seven of the providers specially wanted to serve that population.
And
those
trained in it.
Those, and they got like a whole DEA, it's a whole DEA wow. level of permission. And we are also active members of the Health Improvement Partnership in Santa mm-hmm. Cruz, which convenes all kinds of different meetings to bring community practitioners and health services together. So I obviously attend the behavioral health focused one called Integrated Behavioral Health Action Coalition, which is very well attended and usually has about 40 people from all different organizations, from mental health, from recovery, from the hospitals, the county, sometimes law enforcement, UCSC. We all keep each other up to date about our programs and services and our best practices that we found or our new programs that we're coming up with. So we're really lucky, I think, in Santa Cruz to have such good community collaboration and communication.
It's funny, I've lived here a long time and I've heard about the health partnership, HIP, I think it's called.
HIP, Health Improvement
right.
Partnership.
None of the others, and the others are more centered on medical care, and now you're extending it to mental health care too,
right.
to behavioral health. I really am impressed. There was one program that you started to talk about for students and their siblings. So,
no, I don't
just
think.
That students
you mean
from
at
a school,
Watsonville High?
Yeah. So I had written down when we talked before about something about families can bring in all their siblings, but okay, that could be a mistake. So tell me about the other clinics in the county. How do people find out about Salud Clinics? Salud does some advertising, and you said they go to a lot of community events, but there are a few other clinics. Is there one in Freedom, for instance, or something like that?
In Watsonville?
Yeah.
There's some other small clinics. There's one for a specific berry picking company that's open just during the season. But I think ours has the most comprehensive services because we have optometry, we have dental, we have pediatrics, family practice. We're getting a lot more specialty services, some telehealth, like teledermatology, teleendocrinology. These are services that a lot of times our patients have trouble accessing out, so we bring it into the clinic. So I think that we're probably the largest clinic in Watsonville, patient population wise, mm-hmm. since Watsonville, the city of Watsonville, has about 50,000 people and 27,000 of them are our patients. There's Kaiser there, there's PAMF. I'm not really sure what their numbers look like.
And do Kaiser and PAMF know what kind of program you're running? Are they running similar things too? Or maybe this should be a model for them in some ways?
Well, PAMF doesn't serve the Medi-Cal population the way that we do, except for, I think, possibly in PEDS and OB. And Kaiser knows a lot about what we're doing because they share the Watsonville Community Hospital. That's the hospital that they use. And they have similar behavioral health departments for their own patients.
It's so interesting because the term behavioral health is just coming up now among the general population, and I don't think most of us even knew the scope of what you're talking about. So are there any specific events or activities that might be coming up soon, or is there anything else that you want to add about what's been going on?
We just had a big 40th anniversary fundraiser celebration, and the week after that, we had a community appreciation event. So both of those had about around 300 people each, and hopefully we'll have more of those. But right now, I don't have any big events to announce since we just came off of those ones.
And do they do that at the Salud offices?
The community appreciation event was in the parking lot of our main clinic next to Watsonville High, and they had about 20 community partners, I think, and so that one was for people from the community and people from the neighborhoods to walk over. The 40th anniversary fundraiser was a one-time kind of a more of a gala kind of event.
And obviously that brings your visibility up in the community too.
Right.
Wow. It's pretty amazing to hear that all this is going on for a population that has been so traditionally underserved, and that you're really raising that up.
And Salud has been in Watsonville for 40 years now. That's why we just had our 40th event. So it's pretty much a staple, and everybody you talk to, whether the young people say, oh, my parents used to take me there, or my parents are patients there. So in Watsonville, I think it's very well known, and I'm trying to spread that more north and come to all these different coalitions and different things like I talked about, and even including like this radio show to kind of make North County aware that these type of services exist for South County, just right down 12 miles down the road.
I know. Well, thank you for doing that. I want to tell people that right now K-Squid is a news station and does not extend to Watsonville right now, although there's a big fundraiser coming up on October 6th. And if you want to hear or share these programs with other people, for instance, from South County, you can go to the K-Squid website, to ksquid.org, and click on Archives on Good News Santa Cruz, and then you can hear not only this interview, but the other ones that we've been doing, too. Next Thursday at 3:30, Nancy Glock-Grunach is going to be talking to somebody about the climate strike, so that would be a good time to listen in. Emily, thank you so much for coming and talking about your work. We hope people will see how behavioral health services can add to their lives and that your work continues to shine. So again, for your friends and colleagues who couldn't listen today, the show will be archived at the KSQD website. You're listening to KSQD 90.7. We're on the web at ksqd.org. I'm Randa Salek, and you've been listening to this talk with Emily Salek about behavioral health programs and others at Salud para la Gente. Week, tune in for the global climate strike.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the coolest station around, KSQD
90.7 FM, K-Squid.
Jazz Tracks presents the jazz art form by presenting classic recordings, jazz standards, and new releases. I'm Michael Tanner. Each show features sets that highlight the diversity of this great art form. In addition, live recordings and interviews will expose our listeners to the talent in the local community. Jazz is good for the mind and body, so get into the spirit by listening to Jazz Tracks. Thursday nights from 7 to 10 p.m. right here on K-Squid 90.7 FM.
There. I'm your Uncle Gary, host of Shapiro at Large, Mondays at 11 a.m., and Shapiro at Night, Thursdays at 10 p.m. That's 4 hours of music and merriment with me every week. And it all happens right here on KSQD Santa Cruz, K-Squid 90.7 FM, the ink spot on your dial, and ksqd.org. I hope you'll join me.
My name is Louise Salazar, and every Friday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., I do a show called Skylarkin. I like to mix it up quite a bit from week to week. You never can tell what you might hear. Join me for Skylarkin Fridays, 1 to 3 in the afternoon, right here at KSQD Santa Cruz.
K-Squid listeners, I'm Todd Hartman, and each weekday at 4 p.m., I bring you a different perspective on the news than you're likely to hear on most media outlets. Please join me on KSQD Santa Cruz, your ink spot on the dial for the Tom Hartman program, heard now for the first time ever in the Monterey Bay Area at 90.7 FM, weekdays at 4 p.m. That's progressive talking conversation with me, Tom Hartman, weekdays at 4 p.m. on KSQD 90.7 FM. Tag, you're it.
Talk of the Bay is K-Squid's flagship talk show featuring interviews with local newsmakers, peacemakers, and change makers. Local issues and state and national issues through a local lens, that's Talk of the Bay, Monday through Thursdays at 5 p.m. right here on K-Squid. KSQD Santa Cruz, 90.7 FM.
The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of Natural Bridges Media or KSQD's staff, volunteers, or underwriters.